Welcome to the Men of Eight Gang podcast, episode 308. I am Steve Borsch, and I'm here with Graham Thickens.
I am so happy to be here.
We're at Mini Bar, of course. Phil Wilson.
Hello.
And our very special guest, Julio Ojeda Zapata.
Yay!
A man with two watches, at least.
At least. At least. All right.
And if he had more arms, there'd be more there watches.
Yeah, we don't even want to know what's on the other appendages. So. Yeah. Lord only knows what the man's testing as we speak.
Well, we're sitting here in a conference room at the event, so that because right now lunch is going on. And are you guys as amazed as I am about how many people are here?
Yeah, it's always been a big event, though. Well, I would guess there's over 1,000, at least that were there to start the event. So
yeah.
It's a beautiful day outside, so we'll see how many people are left around at the cocktail time. But
right.
Yeah, always a great event. And you know, I think this is one of the sort of the grandfathers of the some tech gatherings, tech meetups, tech conferences, though this is, I guess, officially known as an unconference.
Yeah, officially.
So, yeah, it's great. It's great to see all these people. It's kind of like a big homecoming, too.
Yep. Well, in the 10th year, 10th anniversary.
Right.
A lot of energy at this one, I think, you know. I don't know if it's the weather or the fact that the founders came back from San Francisco to celebrate the 10th year or what, but it's a lot of fun.
Do you feel as it's sort of morphed from just being sort of a technology-focused more towards a startup, more of a entrepreneurial driven event. I mean, there's more and more of those sessions, and we have all these startups, and they're not always necessarily tech based. Most are.
Well, so I'll answer that in a way, which is it seems like because they asked how many are here for the first time, and half the audience raised their hands. And so I'm wondering if it's, you know, there are people that have started up companies and no longer feel that they need to be here, or they're not getting what they need, or what. But it feels like there's a lot of new blood.
Yeah, I don't know if it was half that raised their hands. So I turned around and saw maybe a fifth.
Okay.
I didn't see that many hands go up saying this was their first one. But undoubtedly there
was more than the people that raised their hand that pre-ordered Apple Watches. You know that.
Yeah, right. What were there, 12 people? That was,
yeah, three of us, I don't know.
Yeah, hey.
Although I found that to be the case at various kinds of tech and social media events. Like for social media breakfast, I'll go for a year without going to one, and then when I go to one, I finally go to one, there's been a lot of turnover, and I don't recognize hardly anybody. So I think it's sort of a cyclical thing. There's just a lot of turnover constantly going on. I haven't been to Mini Bar in a number of years, and I don't know anybody.
You know us.
I'm running into people I know, but you know, the vast majority of people I don't know who they are, and that's great because I'm meeting new folks.
Let me give you another reason why there aren't some people here. Taxes, and Don Ball gave me a second one. Plumbing. He was trapped at home doing taxes and plumbing. So there are people that would love to be here, but there's too many other things going on.
And so it's a beautiful day.
Gosh, and I'm going to head out into it soon.
So everyone knows, because they can't see him, Graham has his University of Minnesota stuff on because he's going to the game.
Yep, I am.
And I said, what game? Lacrosse?
Women's synchronized swimming.
It's the football game. American football. Really?
Football.
Do you have to go see spring football?
Yeah. It'll be a party.
It's a scrimmage.
Well, it was interesting because one of the sessions that I went to was two mathematicians from the University of Minnesota was working with, there's a Minnesota Innovation Network.
That just sort of sounded like almost a setup for a joke. There's two mathematicians
who walk into a bar.
Into a bar.
Yeah, I know. Well,
in order to free beer. No.
And so what they've done is they've identified innovation clusters. And so they had what looked like a social graph, you know, with a bunch of nodes all connected and so on. And it was about the patent classification in technology and how many patents were done, and they had all these different innovation clusters of how many patents, and you know, can you guess who this company is? And it's Medtronic, and can you guess who this one is? It's 3M, and so on. And it's, and they've only worked on it for a couple of months, but you can sort of see where this potentially could go. I mean, they could add an input, you know, how many incorporations were there done for technology companies, and how many people left those companies and started up other ones, and, you know, things like that. So, boy, wouldn't that be great to have?
Yes, it would.
As data. But at any rate, hey, how about if we jump into the show notes here?
I don't know.
Because
how
the
about
we
do that?
Well, so I put this very first one here. I found it out of Google News, of all things, because I do different categories. And it was about a Minnesota family in Rochester who had their nanny cam hacked. And the article really talks about, you know, what happened and how this woman walked into her baby's room and some guys saying, "Hey, your baby's crying." And
clearly, people that didn't listen to the security tip of the week from Steve Bork
about not using admin and putting a password on it.
Exactly. Yeah, that was interesting. You know, Business Insider always is, you know, I always look at Business Insider with a tongue firmly planted in my cheek. They tend to be link bank central, but it was an interesting story.
But you know, I think about that a lot. I mean, do you, Julio, with like the drop cam, or because you've got two drop cams, right, in your house?
Four.
So do you think about?
There's two you can't.
I'm sure you've got them password protected and everything.
Yeah, it's something I keep meaning to take a closer look at, because we have this tidal wave of Internet of Things technologies and devices all sort of coming on the scene, and they're just sort of rushing to market, and I get the general sense that the people who are creating them and the people who are using them are not paying as much attention to security as they need to be. And I think someone needs to turn around and really take a close look at this, because, you know, computer security, it's been analyzed to death. But this is a whole new technology wave, and I suspect there are a million holes that people are going to be finding in the next couple of years or so.
Well, and then the scary thing is, too, is when you think about smart things like I've got in my house, it creates a log file. And I can look at my own log file, and it's stuff like when the motion sensors were triggered and when lights came on and all that kind of stuff. And it goes to the server and comes back. Now, they've got a great encryption model, which is one of the things that I first looked at. But I think about what would happen if that was captured in some way. You know, either their servers got hacked, or there was a way to hack the hub locally, or, you know, something akin to that. Somebody could look at that and see that there's no activity at all in the house and say there's no one home and you know, show up. I mean, so there's inferences you could make from the stuff if you could get a hold of even the log files. You know, forget about hacking in and turning somebody's lights on to be funny, you know, turning on their Sonos system and all that. But securities, that's going to be
a
big deal.
And this is specifically why I personally have been extremely conservative about deploying this stuff in my home. I haven't really gone nuts with it. I think DropCam is just the primary example of what I've done. I haven't gone much beyond that. I have a Nest thermostat that I haven't even installed. And I'm just, I'm being very conservative and cautious about this sort of thing, personally.
Yeah. Well, have you guys been watching Julio on his drop cams? I have. No, I'm teasing.
I love the line in this Business Insider story. That's a poopy diaper.
That's a really poopy diaper.
Yeah, the hacker got in.
And the nanny quickly
in.
Unplugged the camera and called the family.
Oh, man. Well, Tim put this in about AOL launching a tech support service in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, I saw that. There's a big billboard outside our office that I saw that. It was like, it's kind of like AOL meets Geek Squad, or I'm not sure what it is. So.
Well, and I actually, my wife and I were talking, and I mentioned this to her, and she said, "Oh, AOL, are they still around?"
Yeah, that's always the question, isn't it?
Yeah, I wrote a story about it for the Pioneer Press. As I researched it, I found out that it's actually not new. It's something that AOL has offered for its members, and now it's broadening out to people that don't necessarily have AOL accounts. And it's not very much like the Geek Squad, because it's primarily people in Rochester, New York, remoting into people's computers or talking through things over the phone, and you can actually send in your gadgets to be fixed. And it's interesting. I don't know if it's gonna fly. And they make some claims that seem slightly outlandish to me. Like they told me that if we can't fix your device, we'll replace it. Or here's the part where I get a little disbelieving. They say they'll actually, if all else fails, they'll cut you a check to buy a new device.
What?
And it's like,
wow.
What kind of business model is that? It's a little weird.
Yeah. Desperate.
And I called Robert Stevens, formerly of the Gang Squad, because I just wanted a second brain on this. And he basically, we had a very interesting phone conversation. He basically sliced the whole thing apart, and he says this thing is not going to work. It's absolutely not. One of the reasons he thinks it's not going to work is because a tech support entity like this needs to have a strong partner, preferably a strong brick and mortar partner with a strong physical presence in the area that it serves.
On the ground.
Yeah. AOL obviously is going to beg to differ with that, but Stevens thinks this is not going to work. And by the way, this is not the first time that AOL has come up with a new service that it is beta testing exclusively in the Twin Cities. I wrote a story a while back about Gather, G-A-T-H-R, a service that sort of bundles different kinds of offers for you. That crashed and burned. So
maybe AOL should partner with Radio Shack on this deal, huh?
Yeah.
The new Radio Shack.
They'd have to buy all their stores, though. All the ones that are going to be empty. And
I think Sprint beat them to that.
Yeah, yeah, somebody's already doing that deal.
Yeah.
So Coco's teaming up with Matchstick Ventures. That was the story.
Well, that's another VC landing in the heart of the community. The question will be, will anybody write a check? So that's the important thing. So we'll see how that pans out.
Well, and I think that, you know, there's enough going on here that people want to be here if they're in venture capital or angel investing, and because, you know, they may stumble across the next Google, you know, or some emerging company that has just got the best idea and they've already executed on it, you know. And
well, the VCs that come out of Minnesota tend to be very cautious, cautious, I think, is the best way to say that. They don't want to invest in anything until there's a huge crowd or, you know, a huge audience or, you know, profitable or something like that. I think any successful VC is the one that is a little less cautious, that will say, okay, look, we're going to take a shot at this. And that doesn't necessarily happen in Minnesota with Minnesota and Midwest money. So,
well, luckily Ryan Brochar of Matchstick has got some of that Boulder mojo going, though. You know, he's not pure Twin Cities, which is nice. Say, speaking of Google and Coco, what is that huge structure back in the back part?
That's
of
the Coco? I was just
is
over
that
there.
Google for entrepreneurs.
No,
or
that's the
that?
That's the Zen space that
they
built.
Zen
yeah,
space.
They blew out a bunch of desks and put in a Zen space.
And they've got the big overhead.
Yeah. It's got recliners and reclining wood chairs and.
Statue of Buddha.
I think that's a Google investment. Yes,
they invested the money to do that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Is there a statue of Buddha?
No, there is not. But there's, you know, it's green and sort of earth tones and the tabletops are, you know, sliced up trees and, you know, things like that. So, when I stopped over there the other day just because I wanted to visit with some folks, and then I didn't see anybody sitting in the space. Nobody was in need of Zen at 9 in the morning.
Not yet. The place just isn't the same without you there.
Talking.
That's me. Quiet. And
I'm in charge of the loud talking.
If we could, because we don't have a lot of time right now, we've got some sessions to get to and all that.
What I think we need to talk about is who in the room has ordered their watch.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
That was the big geek thing of the week, obviously, was pre-orders. And you got up at 2 in the morning, Steve.
No, I was up.
Sucker.
I was up at 1:58.
1:58. Oh, yeah. You got up.
So I ordered it at 2:01.
Yes.
And yet, even though they said it was going to come in at the end of April.
No, it's May. Yeah.
I'm now at the end of May.
I think everybody's at the end of May.
Okay.
No, summer, June.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen anybody or talked to anybody that is even close to the April, end of April.
Oh, no. Steve said it was probably all the Asian countries that bought up all the inventory.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because Australia was, you know, they were pre-ordering a day before, really.
Yeah.
And it was
funny.
I
think Apple allocates by geography, though.
Yeah, I think
you would think, but boy, I'm just thinking that early inventory must have been very thin numbers wise, because you know, I had the same thing happen to me, although I did mine at 6:30, and I got May 13th to May 27th for my date.
And this is a Microsoft situation where we don't know whether the scarcity is due to limited production or high demand.
Right.
And I suspect it's a combination of the two. Like, is it the more extreme example is the Microsoft band, the fitness band that Microsoft put out. They put it on sale, and then very shortly thereafter they said, "We're sold out!"
Because we built three.
Exactly. So I think it's...
Yeah.
And I'm going to be very honest in my skepticism about the Apple Watch. There's going to be this initial rush.
Yeah.
But the long-term thing is going to be really key. And the iPad is somewhat of an example of that because it was very popular for a while. But now it's cratering. Mm-hmm. And that sort of poses the question, who really needs an iPad? And I will very honestly ask the question, who needs an Apple Watch?
Well, we've talked about it before. The challenge is not necessarily what the watch can do, is will somebody wear a watch? Because as generations have gone on and the advent of the smartphone and, you know, cell phones in general, most people are using that for their watch. They don't really need, you know, I don't need to wear something on their wrist. I do because I've always done it. That's it. So.
And the other issue is, I think the Apple Watch is obscenely overpriced. Even the Sport is obscenely overpriced.
It is expensive.
Yes,
well, you know, what's interesting is...
So which one did you order?
I'm waiting for my review unit.
Okay. Well, so your point about the iPad is really interesting because I've looked at my own behavior, and there isn't enough compelling reason to buy and to upgrade. I've got an iPad Mini with Verizon, and it would sure be nice to have the Touch ID on the iPad Mini, but what I would prefer to have is Graham's huge iPhone 6 Plus. I should have not canceled the order for that and taken that instead of the iPhone 6, but if I had that, I wouldn't even use a tablet at all.
I've been very productive on an iPad Air 2 with a Belkin keyboard case. I like that a lot, but the new MacBook is short-circuiting a lot of that logic because it's a laptop that has gotten small and light enough to sort of pose the question of why do you need an iPad at all. And I'll also mention the new Microsoft Surface 3. I went into the Microsoft store.
Yeah, I heard that's really cool.
And I took a look at that, and you might be surprised to know I'm kind of a Surface fanboy, and this is a compelling device because it's more compact than the Surface Pro 3. And it has a firmer, the older keyboard cases on Surface devices used to be a little squishy. This one's very solid. And it's a compelling situation because with the keyboard case, you have kind of a laptop situation, and then you can get rid of the keyboard. And it's a perfectly manageable, perfectly sweet little tablet. I think that device is something that people really should take a very close look at.
Well, I really struggled with the Apple Watch because on the one hand, and these guys, we were talking about this because the very first question out of my daughter's mouth, who also ordered one right away, then I found out my wife ordered one, didn't even talk to me. Which was surprising.
How dare she?
I know. But my daughter goes, "So which one of the Apple Watches did you buy?" I said, "Well, I didn't. I bought the Sport." "What? Why'd you buy, you know, didn't you want the sapphire screen on the Apple Watch?" I go, "Well, here's the kicker. I have an original iPod and an original iPhone sitting in a drawer. And I looked at both of those and said, this Apple Watch is going to change dramatically in various future iterations. And... especially as they hone what's selling and what's not. And I thought, I just want to get in the game. And there isn't that much difference between the Sport and the $17,000 gold watch. I mean, there really truly isn't.
The Sport is the only thing I would consider getting.
Yeah. And still, you know, it's $400, you know. So plus I bought AppleCare, so I think with tax and everything it was $500 at the end of the day. And so that was, but here's the thing. So I always look at changes in behavior. The thing about the iPad is when I want to go and just chill, sit in a chair and read, like I do especially on Sunday mornings, I'll read both print newspapers, Star Tribune and New York Times, and then I'll sit down with my iPad and I'll spend sometimes 2 hours with Flipboard going through all kinds of publications, and I really enjoy it. I wouldn't on a computer... And I wouldn't on my phone, but with the iPad, it's materially changed how I consume content. And I've been thinking about my behavior with the Apple Watch, and the thing that I'm going to be compelled with is I get enough notifications where I'm always digging that phone out of my pocket to see what it is, always.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, just to be able to glance is going to totally change my willingness to be notified all the time.
Yep, I agree.
How about $100?
What? What'd you say?
Get a Pebble, $100.
$100.
Done.
But it's not an Apple product,
ugly, though, aren't they? I mean, come on now. Julio's wearing two watches. One's a Pebble, one's a Moto 360. So,
This is kind of a testing situation for the primary person. I got to tell you, I'm being very honest, I'm very uncomfortable. I just don't like wearing watches. I just don't.
So there you go.
But you did the try-on at the Mall of America,
yeah,
and you wrote about it.
How was the fitting?
That was a very enlightening situation for me, because I went in there with a number of big questions. The two big questions I had are which size watch is the best?
Yeah, that's a biggie.
And I assumed, because of my very narrow wrist, that I'd want the 38 millimeter. And I just took one look at it. It's too small. I thought the 42 would be too big for me. Perfect. I love the 42. Oh. And the other thing I worried about is I'm just going to go entry level. Yep. And therefore, I would just use the basic band. But I was a little worried looking at pictures about whether there was going to be plasticky and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's velvety smooth, very
soft. It's like butter. It's like butter.
Apple butter.
And so a dark gray sport with the black band. That's what I want.
Perfect. I just got the regular stainless steel with a blue band. But I was with the concept of changing, be able to change bands. If you went with the space gray, it's not going to look good with anything other than a black band. So
yeah.
I think the sport watch with swapping bands, and again, the rubber bands are fine for rubber bands.
And just a pro tip, if you're buying a watch, if you buy the sport is semi-compatible with the higher-end bands, not fully compatible. So if you want to play, if you want to play with the higher-end bands, don't get the sport watch.
Yeah.
Don't.
Just go up to the next level.
Yes. No.
So if the only thing was available was the pink band, then could you buy another band?
Sure.
When will new bands be available?
No, Apple told me that the if you get a sport watch and then want to put one of the higher-end bands on, it'll go on there, but it won't fit as nicely because there's a slight hardware design difference between the sport timepiece and the other two. So if you're going to be playing with bands, pay for the stainless steel at least.
Well, I'm hoping the bands are available soon, because I got light blue, and I'm not necessarily a light blue watch band kind of guy.
So you bought the middle one, the Apple Watch.
No, the sport watch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they come pre-configured. You can get the black, the space gray, only you can only get a black band with the space gray.
Right.
So,
I need you to do something. You need to call your pals in New York, because I saw an article or a blog post, I should say, about a guy, and he took a picture with his phone. Yeah. And I'll see if I can find it and put a link in the show notes, because I just burst out laughing. There was a guy who had his trunk open, and in the back of the trunk were a bunch of knockoff Apple Watches. And he said that he had Apple Watches. And the guy that wrote the post was saying, oh, my God, maybe he did something, stole them and got them from China or something. And, of course, they're just these horrible knockoffs look like somebody sat down with super glue and put them together. But, oh, my God.
Well, what did you get, Graham?
I got the stainless with the black band.
Okay. So you get the black space gray.
I went up to the watch instead.
Oh, the watch. That's right. Yeah.
Instead of the sport, I went for. That's what I had my mind set on.
Moving uptown.
Yes, I went uptown.
Got it. Got it.
And I noted, if you want to buy extra bands, first of all, they're not cheap. Second of all, Apple.com said 4 to 6 weeks out.
Yep.
To order bands. So, but who would buy a watch and then go and buy another band when they're $100, $150?
Sport watch bands, they're not $100. I can't imagine. So,
you know what amazed me is when, do you remember when Apple did the candy colored IMAX when Jobs first introduced them? They came, or was the Bondi blue was the first one, and then they did the Yum ones. Six colors?
Yeah,
I think. My wife, who'd been a buyer at Target stores in electronics, I remember her saying, "Oh my God, I could just imagine." Trying to keep those things in stock, how are they going to do the
SKUs?
SKUs,
yeah.
And I remember that being very controversial with Apple, with Best Buy pushing back a little bit on that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so when I look at the Apple Watch and all the iterations and all of that, I think, how the hell are you going to keep that stuff in stock? I mean, who's really going to, I mean, is Apple going to be the primary retailer that's got everything? Because, I mean, otherwise, how do you manage?
But the bands are more manageable size-wise, so it's not gonna, I don't think it's going to be
Man, I don't know. It's going to be an, it's going
to
be.
And then there's going to be a flood of third-party band makers.
You would think so. Yeah.
I just saw, in fact, I just wrote a story about accessory iPhone and iPad accessory makers gearing up to make products for the Apple Watch, and I focused on Pad and Quill, a very well-known local company. They're doing this little folding wooden stand. And I visited their manufacturing facilities. Yeah. And it was a really fun story to do.
They're doing I think they're going to do a wooden band.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
It's possible. Yeah, we'll have that.
It is. It is possible.
Show notes,
yeah, so. Like, you know, the
wooden band.
Wood
listen to you.
Fake wood.
Wood links.
I could wear one with my, when I drive around in my Woody.
There you go.
Which there I'm you selling go. This year. But aww. That's another story.
Oh, you are?
It's
oh,
so
man.
Sad. Yeah.
It's so sad.
Yeah, well, and then another article that Tim slipped in here, which I thought was interesting because it was in The Verge, and it's about Google is close to making Android Wear work on the iPhone.
Yeah. I was going to mention that, yeah. Will that's the Apple other that's the other happen? Argument that I have for maybe holding off on the Apple Watch because the Moto 360 that I have here, very nice watch, a lot cheaper, and if it works with an iPhone, you're golden.
Yeah. Have you liked working with a 360? I mean, is it...
I'm a big Google fanatic. Yeah, right. I love Google services. I'm all Google all the time. So this fits me perfectly. I just love the Google Now system. It's great. The problem with the Android Wear watches is that the third-party apps are very hard to get to. They're buried. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of interface work that needs to be done, and Apple is kind of leading the way with that. I suspect that Google I.O., there's going to be some very major announcements about the next version of the Android Wear operating system because it really needs a lot of work.
Yeah, how long is it going to take? I'm guessing less than 6 hours for the first blog post of love my Apple Watch, but the battery dies too soon.
Well, yeah, who knows?
The early reviews are saying that it really wasn't an issue.
Just a day.
They're saying
see, that's another problem that I have because it's like even though you're supposed to charge it overnight. Well, I kind of like having a watch on overnight because that's how I tell time when I wake up in the middle of the night. So.
Oh, I've got to tell you about the greatest product of the world. I have a clock at the side of my bed. It's the ugliest looking thing in the world, but it syncs to the Navy clock in Colorado.
Yep.
And it has this little thing that you can swivel, and it projects a red
time up on
the
sun. I don't need that much of a reminder of time.
Well, so when I bought it, my wife looked at it and went, that's the ugliest clock I've ever seen in my entire life. I go, yeah, but it's the utility, right? I mean, you know, when daylight savings time comes on and off, you don't have to touch it. It just automatically syncs, you know, blah, blah, blah. Plus, it has this cool thing. She goes, oh, I see that. It's really annoying. So now fast forward about 6 months, and one day I hit it, and so it was aiming at the wall. And she said, what happened to the time on the ceiling? I love that. So now she's totally dependent on it, just loves it. So I just thought that was kind of humorous. But anyway... Well, so there's.
Let's cover off real quick some of the upcoming events, and then we'll get back to what's happening at Minibar. So we've got coming up. I guess, geez, this is Mini WebCon already Monday.
On
is that
Monday,
right?
Yeah,
that's coming.
Oh wow!
Up, so, yeah, and then we have something else that's new. I think WordCamp is that new to our list.
I think we had that on there last week, and that is the second WordCamp here, I think.
Yeah. And then we do know that Appapalooza is new, and Graham did a great piece on Appapalooza, which is the culmination of the Technovation Challenge and Technovation MN that comes up on the 3rd of May, and hopefully you can check that out.
Yeah, and then the Overnight Website Challenge in May, MedTech Investing Conference in May, MHTA Spring Conference May 7th, but I just learned about the Geekettes doing their all-women hackathon May 16th and 17th, hackthegap.mn, so we'll have to get that on the list too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Nice. What is that?
Kristen Womack from Lead Pages, formerly of Best Buy, told me about it. May 16th and 17th. So,
well, I wish we had more time because I would like to hear what Julio, what your cool thing of the week might be, just off the top of your head. Sorry, because Graham will talk about his for a second. But is there anything that you've seen in the last week that you thought was just particularly cool? A gadget or a website or just anything?
Well, I already alluded to it. Pat and Cole, the local company, they the Brian Holmes, he has an old pocket watch from his grandfather, long deceased grandfather, and he found on the internet this little folding stand with a little cutout where you put the pocket watch, and when you don't need the stand, you just close it for transport. And that was inspiration for what is the most unique Apple Watch stand out there, because he basically copied the idea for the Apple Watch, created this little stand that when it's deployed, it has the stand with a little cutout for the Apple charger. And then if you're hitting the road on a business trip or whatever, put your watch on, fold the little stand, stick it in its little leather sleeve, tuck it in your bag. And I think I'm in love with this thing. I almost want to buy an Apple Watch just so I can have that stand.
Will it do charging too? I mean, you can charge in it?
Yeah, most of the Apple Watch stands are designed in such a way that they have a little cutout where the round Apple Watch charger sort of integrates with the accessory and becomes basically one piece. So when you put the Apple Watch on the stand, the back of the watch is right up against the little charger thing.
Cool.
So it's a $70 accessory, and I've been to the manufacturing facility where they make it. It's of all the Apple Watch charging stands I've seen out there, I think it's definitely the nicest, and it's made right here in Minnesota.
Well, their stuff is just top notch.
Yes,
really good quality. And Graham, what are you typing on there, pal?
Oh, I'm typing event stuff, but you know, my cool thing of the week is the photo of my new Apple Watch, which is all I have until May 13th.
But Graham is typing
all the damn money I spent on it.
Okay.
Well, did they hit your credit card right away?
No.
No, they can't possibly do that.
No.
Good. I have time to raise the money then.
But I think Steve's trying to get at you're typing on your brand new MacBook Pro.
You want me to? Yeah.
With the Force
hinting at. With the new Force. Trackpad.
The Force is with this. The Force is strong in this one.
I reviewed that trackpad for tidbits. It's a fun technology. Yeah.
What was the verdict?
Oh, I love it. I think it's great. Yeah.
There's no mechanical movement in the trackpad at all anymore. And I know those old ones can fail. I talked about it last week. My Air, I had to replace the trackpad. It broke on me.
Wow.
So hopefully that's an issue that we won't have anymore with this new one.
Well, coming up, we've got a lot of great sessions at Minibar here. And in fact, we're going to have to wrap up now because we've got to get to some of them. But, I mean, just really interesting sessions. I mean, here's one. Use storytelling to build your brand and engage buyers. And you think, what? Why would that be here? Well, if you think about anybody that's doing anything in social media, anything with branding and doing any kind of a content strategy, storytelling, I mean, it's how we all remember.
As a journalist, I'm finding this Minibar to be particularly compelling because there have been several sessions on startups and how to deal with the press. In fact, one of those sessions was led by somebody that I wrote about.
Oh.
And his session included, he didn't allude to me by name, but his session included his experience dealing with me. So I raised my hand and asked him, and I really, you know, as a reporter, I really enjoyed working with you, but I have no idea if the feeling was mutual. And that got a really big laugh in the room.
Which guy was that?
That's the AstroPad guy. The guy who made a Mac app that turned an app that turns the iPad into a professional graphics tablet. And works with the Mac. Beautiful product, yeah.
Was he wearing a blue t-shirt that said on the back, reporters are always mean to me? No. Just kidding. All right. Well, I guess we're going to wrap up now, and we'll see everyone next week on
the Minivate Gang Podcast.
around the world in search of happiness, but all my happiness I found was in my hometown. No more blues, I'm going back home. No, no, no more news. I'm through with all my wandering. Now I'll settle down, live my life, find a man and build me a home. When we settle down, there'll be no more.